Please turn to 2 Timothy, chapter 2. It's page 1195. It says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering, like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown, except by competing according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here's a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A brief prayer. Our Father in heaven, as we look at these verses, would we remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David, which is our gospel. Would it help us to love Jesus more? In his name we pray. Amen. Please keep 2 Timothy open. As we go back and think again about our verse of the year, there's a question really that I want us to grapple with. Are we remembering Jesus Christ more in September than we were in January? As a church, are we better at remembering Jesus Christ today than we were 9 months ago? That's quite a tough question to ask. But this is what the Lord Jesus wants for Timothy through the writing of Paul to his friend. This is what he wants us to do. Remember Jesus Christ. That's a command to be obeyed. We've all got a part to play in this. Remembering Jesus Christ is something that every disciple should be doing, should be growing in, should be advancing. Now, if you're new here this morning or Christianity's new to you, a disciple of Jesus Christ is someone who believes the good news that Jesus came down from heaven and died on a cross to personally forgive our sins. A disciple, someone who trusts that Jesus physically rose from the dead 3 days later, and they are submitting their lives to King Jesus every single day. That's a disciple. And here we're told that disciples are to remember Jesus Christ. You would think that's not a difficult thing for disciples to remember. But as ever, if we're given it in the Bible, there's a good chance that we'll forget really, really quickly. That's why the New Testament is filled with stuff that you would think, that's a simple command, that's a straightforward one, we should get that. But so often, we don't. Now, you may think, that's all well and good. Am I remembering Jesus more today than I was in January? But how would you measure that? Because I know that lots of you are thinking, how do you grow in remembering? I'm maybe getting older. Like, I forget much more stuff than I remember. If I can't find my keys on my phone, on my wallet, if I don't remember where I put them, how am I going to remember Jesus Christ? Well, here are four simple ways that the verses we read help us to keep remembering Jesus Christ, to make that a priority. Number one, are we remembering and keep on remembering to trust Jesus as our Savior and King? Paul writes this letter as an old man coming to the end of his life, but he's not got his feet up on a little stool with his slippers and a nice comfy chair. Paul writes to Timothy from the comfort of jail. Paul's on the front line still of following Jesus. He's in jail for his faith. And he's still remembering Jesus Christ so that others might be saved and rescued from their sins. How does this comfort Paul to remember Jesus? Well, 30 years prior to this, he had met the Lord Jesus face to face. And when Paul met the Lord Jesus, he knew he had a problem. All of Paul's life, up until that point, he'd been trying to be good before God so that he would be accepted and acceptable. And part of trying to be good before God was that he thought it'd be a good idea to imprison Christians and round up Christians and murder them. And when he came face to face with the risen Jesus, he realized he wasn't holy or good at all, that he had a problem, that he was personally at fault for lots of wrongdoing. What he personally deserved was not God's goodness, but the full weight of God's punishment on his sin. But that's not how Jesus treated him. And when Paul cried out for forgiveness, he was granted it. And he was granted it only because the Lord Jesus had died on a cross for him. Paul writes to Timothy to remember Jesus Christ and to us that he's our Savior, that he personally came to rescue each one of us, that he was punished for our sins, not his own. And we are to remember how much he loves us. He didn't do it because we deserve it. He does it because we need it, and he loves us, and he wants us to be part of his family. Remember Jesus Christ. You know, we don't have a relationship as Christians with a cross or an empty tomb or stained glass or whatever it is. We've got a relationship with Jesus. And he rules from heaven this morning. And just as he's rescued us from our greatest problem of sin, we don't just turn to him for the big emergencies. The Lord Jesus wants us to turn to him for what I call the everyday help and rescue. He wants to be part of our lives. When we don't know what to do, when there's a situation and maybe we're panicked about it or worrying about it, maybe when it becomes a crisis, we think, I'll turn to Jesus and ask for help. When it's an emergency, no, he wants to be our everyday Savior as well. He wants us to share those times with him. He's truly near. And it's brilliant to think again that when I don't know what to do, I can say, Lord, save me. He also tells Timothy that Jesus is descended from David. I think he's reminding Timothy that Jesus is a king. And he's not just king over our lives, but he's king over all life. That nothing happens in our world without his say-so. And he's so ordered our universe that his plan will come about. So often we don't understand what's happening. So often we think, that's not how I would have done it. But he's in charge, not me. Timothy, as it turns out when you read this letter, is suffering. He's having a pretty difficult time. And I think Paul writes to encourage him, because Paul knew that suffering in any form is hard. Timothy here is suffering again as well for being a follower of the Lord Jesus. But Paul says, remember Jesus Christ, because that will keep on feeding our souls. That will keep on encouraging us to follow Jesus. In fact, when you look at the original language it was written in, it's remember Jesus Christ and keep on remembering. So are we remembering to trust that he's our Savior and King? Are we still doing that? Are we better at that in September than we were in January? Here's the second question. Are remembering the Lord Jesus is our source of strength? Look back at what Paul writes in verse 1 of chapter 2. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Timothy had become the pastor of a church in a city called Ephesus. Ephesus was an important place. You read in Acts 19 that when Paul visited that city and told people about Jesus, there was a riot. But it was there that Timothy had become the pastor of the local church. And Paul doesn't write, Timothy, be a better pastor. Try harder. You know, get on people's case about not coming to church. He says, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Remember Jesus Christ. Remember that Jesus strengthens us to face the situations that we're in. He often doesn't take the situations away, but he helps us through them. A little later on in chapter 4, Paul says that he was on trial and everyone deserted him. But the Lord stood at my side. The Lord stood at my side. You might go home this morning and be the only Christian at home. You might go off to school and maybe the only Christian that you know of, or at university, or at work. What do we say to the young people? The Lord Jesus promises that he'll be with us always. Paul said to Timothy, everyone else deserted me, but the Lord stood at my side. For whatever we face, the Lord Jesus is to be a source of strength and his grace. How? Well, one of the best ways is by praying. You know, we so easily forget that we have a risen, glorious Savior who's ready and willing to listen to us. I was reminded of a little rhyme this week. Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees, or her knees, or their knees. When you're at home and life seems chaotic and you think, what is going on here? Who's to be a source of strength? The Lord Jesus. When you didn't get the grades or the course that you wanted to get into, that you were desperately sure was for you, who's got the grace that you need to see you through those times? Jesus. When you get ill, who's your strength? Jesus. When you desperately thought, that was going to happen, or that was for me, and it didn't, and it break, and you know, it's making you break up inside. Whose grace is sufficient? Jesus. When you're suffering because of Jesus, because you've been honest and fair and dealt with integrity, and yet still you're suffering, who will help you in those times? Jesus. Who wants you to call out to him and trust him, not just in the big crises, but with the little things. And because it's his grace, you know, so often we think, why would Jesus help me? I've stuffed up again and again. You know, that's true. But because it's his grace, it's his undeserved kindness. He knows that you shouldn't deserve it and you don't deserve it. But he helps anyway because he loves us. Because that's what he's like. So often when I'm faced with a situation, I don't know what to do, I think, if only I knew someone who had the wisdom and power to change all this. Oh, wait. I do. One of the joys of our prayer meeting on a Tuesday night is that we can come together and honestly say, Lord, we're weak, but you're strong. Lord, we don't know what to do, but you do. And we need your help. Let me encourage you to come and do that with us. Because that's how we rely on the Lord Jesus as our source of strength. That's how we be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Here's the third question. Are we remembering to faithfully serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Look at verse 3 and 4. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. It's a pretty clear picture. Christians described as a kind of ordinary soldier, and the Lord Jesus, a commanding officer, and what's our role? Well, we want to please him. We want to be single-minded about thinking, what will make the Lord Jesus happy today? How can I live today for that? How am I going to serve in that way? Single-minded. Attention to detail to pleasing Jesus. In the next verse, verse 5, we get a picture of an athlete chasing down victory. Think of all the training, all the sessions in the weight room, all the laps of the track. When it comes to race day, they've got to be single-minded in obeying the rules of the race so that they win. The third picture we're given, verse 6, that the hard-working farmer, they spend hour after hour, you know, working in the fields, doing what they can, single-minded attention. They don't halfway through the summer go, you know what, stuff this, I'm going to be a painter. No, they're still up at 5 o'clock feeding the cows or whatever it is. I think Paul is telling Timothy, yes, it's often going to be hard to follow the Lord Jesus. But if we are to keep following and keep faithfully serving, and actually if we are to keep on seeing people come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got to be single-minded about pleasing him. You know, think of the farmer again, back in January or February where he's planting his seeds. What does he see for weeks? Nothing but empty fields. But he works, 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 single-minded all summer long. And then come August, I've done a lot of miles on the motorway. We've seen a lot of combine harvesters. Why? Because the farmer who works hard, does the right thing, single-minded, gets the harvest. Remember Jesus Christ. Was he single-minded in his mission? Was he single-minded about pleasing his Father in heaven? Was he single-minded in going to the cross to rescue us? He wants us to be single-minded in how we faithfully serve him. Now, I admit down the years, there have been many ways that I've been distracted about that single-mindedness. When I was young, I was football daft. That often distracted me. At university, you know, I didn't really want to suffer too much for following Jesus, so you say nothing and keep your head down. Distractions. As you get a bit older, you don't want to be laughed at for following Jesus. You want to be respected. You get distracted. Even as a pastor, you might think, well, surely if anyone's not going to be distracted, if anyone's going to be single-minded, it's going to be someone like you. But you guys, you know the reality of life with family and all sorts of other distractions. What's a good antidote to that? Remember Jesus Christ. Raised from the dead, descended from David. Paul says, think about the soldier and the athlete and the farmer, and those help us to keep remembering to faithfully serve the Lord Jesus. Lots of practical ways this can happen. Parents, do we take the lead in telling our young people about the Lord Jesus? Read the Bible with them, pray with them. You know, it's really easy to think, you know, to hear, Daddy, Daddy, can we just do this for a moment? Can we do something else? Can we have a break from Bible today? You've got to be single-minded. If you're a plumber, a gardener, a doctor, an IT worker, whatever it is, don't resent being there. I know that can be really hard, especially, you know, if you've been on holiday and the night before work and you think, represent being there. That's the place where the Lord Jesus has put you to faithfully follow him, speak about him to others. If you're a church member, are you serving here at Berry Street? There's lots of ways, there's lots of help that we need. Hey, at the open day, there's lots of ways that we can serve next weekend. But even during the week, as the clubs and ministries start up again, there's some gaps, and we need people to serve. What about our area? Well, there's thousands who live here who don't yet know and love the Lord Jesus, who need us to tell them about him. Are we remembering the Lord Jesus Christ raised from the dead? Are we remembering to faithfully serve him? Here's the last thing. Are we better at remembering now than we were 9 months ago that the Lord Jesus is coming back? You see, within our verse, verse 8, there's a little promise. Jesus is raised from the dead. He's alive. And within that promise, well, we know he's coming back. He promises that he's going to do that. Later on, again in the book of 2 Timothy, Paul wasn't scared of meeting the Lord Jesus when he was on his return. In fact, he was positively looking forward to that day. The thought of that day of seeing the Lord Jesus face to face again, that fueled lots of Paul's ministry. That thought of perfect peace, of joy, of tears wiped away, remembering that Jesus is alive, heaven is real, helped Paul face up. It helped him to keep following Jesus even when he was being chained like a criminal. I don't know what everyone's going through at the moment, but I know that when we see the Lord Jesus face to face, none of us will regret following him. If we could speak to the inhabitants of heaven this morning, not one of them would say, I wish I wasn't here. They love it. But if you're not a Christian, seeing the Lord Jesus face to face is not going to be a great day. The Bible says it's going to be a day of judgment and justice. There's no promise of heaven. But what I want to say to you this morning, as I tell you to remember Jesus Christ, is that until the day that we die or the day that the Lord Jesus returns, and we don't know when that is, there's hope. There is time to put our trust in him, to join with us who remember that Jesus is our Savior and our King. It starts by putting our trust in him, by calling out for his forgiveness, just as Paul had to do, and Timothy, and everyone else down the line. And as you remember him each and every day, he promises that he'll be our source of strength, he'll be our help, he'll give us the Holy Spirit to faithfully follow him, and he'll make sure that we get to heaven. So let me ask again. 2 Timothy 2, verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. Are we better today at remembering Jesus Christ than we were 9 months ago? I hope so. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we ask for that help, that ongoing need we have to keep remembering the Lord Jesus Christ. To not be distracted. To remember that he's our Savior and King who's always near. Who's our source of help and strength. Whose grace is enough to meet the situations we face ourselves in. How we long to faithfully serve him here at this local church, in the area that we live in, and the places he puts us week by week. And Father, help us to remember that he's coming back. That perhaps the injustice that we see around us or that we feel living in this world will one day be put right. Would we encourage each other with these words. Remember Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.